This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Monday's headlines. And of course, here in Washington, the big news is what happened Sunday night in the House of Representatives. After weeks of wrangling, arm twisting, behind the doors compromises, and more than any of us probably know except the lawmakers themselves, the Democrats in the House of Representatives passed the Senate version of health care reform legislation with only Democratic votes, 219 to 212. All 178 Republicans as well as 34 Democrats combining for those 212 no votes. Late in the evening, the Democrats also passed their version of fixes to the bill that the U.S. Senate will now have to approve either as they are or change slightly and then send it back to the House for final approval. After working towards this goal for well over a year, Democrats were in a celebratory mood, including President Obama, who considered this one of the historic achievements this country has accomplished.
In the end, what this day represents is another stone firmly laid in the foundation of the American dream. Tonight, we answered the call of history as so many generations of Americans have before us. When faced with crisis, we did not shrink from our challenge. We overcame it.
On the House floor prior to the initial vote, the debate was passionate as well as pointed. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, in her closing comments, said that this Congress had the chance to follow in the footsteps of what many Democrats consider to be some of the greatest legislative accomplishments in the past century.
Just think, we will be joining those who established Social Security, Medicare, and now tonight, health care for all Americans.
Following the vote, Pelosi said she believes the founders would be pleased with what the House of Representatives did and said it will lay the groundwork for a brighter future for all Americans.
We believe that this act that was passed tonight is an all-American act, honoring our founders' vows to the future and honoring our commitment to the future by making it a healthier one and a fiscally sound one.
As for the Republican side of the debate, did I mention it was passionate?
Look at how this bill was written. Can you say it was done openly?
Yes.
With transparency and accountability?
Yes.
Without backroom deals and struck behind closed doors? Hidden from the people? Hell no, you can't!
That's House Republican leader John Boehner, who also said in a more calm tone that he believes the American people have had their trust shattered by the actions of their representatives here in Washington who have deliberately defied the will of the voters.
It will be the last straw for the American people. And in a democracy, you can only ignore the will of the people for so long and get away with it. And if we defy the will of our fellow citizens and pass this bill, we're going to be held to account by those who have placed us in their trust. We will have shattered those bonds of trust.
And while the dust was still settling from the House passage of the Senate version of the health care bill, as mentioned a moment ago, the House also passed its version of fixes to that bill.
On this vote, the yeas are 220, the nays are 211. The bill is passed.
But just hours before the final House vote, it was still very much up in the air as to whether or not Democrats had the votes. And it turns out, until a deal around 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon Eastern time, they didn't have the votes. So what happened? Well, Bart Stupak and his gang of about six supposedly pro-life Democrats agreed to allowing the President of the United States to issue an executive order in order to make sure that no taxpayer dollars would be used to fund abortions. Now, Republicans and pro-life activists have said that is not an acceptable compromise. However, Bart Stupak, speaking on the Fox News Channel on Sunday, said he was confident that he's gotten what he's wanted.
The President issued an executive order which has the full force and effect of law, saying that the Hyde restrictions on federal funding for abortion will apply to this law as passed tonight by the U.S. Congress. All the safeguards we were looking for, the principle for which we fought for all these months, will be enforced now through this executive order.
When reminded that the president, of course, could change his mind and rescind such an executive order at any time, Congressman Stupak did not seem concerned.
As the president of the United States, he has to implement the laws that Congress passed. And in this case, and what presidents do, they use executive orders to say, here's the way I'm going to implement this law. This is the way my administration would administer this law. We have a three-page executive order here, which talks about no public funding for abortion, that the community health centers will not provide or pay for abortions.
Now some pro-life activists who were championing Stupak, standing strong against taxpayer-funded abortions, are questioning whether his fight was sincere all along. They've got a little bit of footage and audio to back up their case. Here's audio from Congressman Stupak at a town hall meeting in Sheboygan, Michigan, months before the original House vote, where Stupak directly addressed the question of whether he would vote for the Democratic version of health care reform if he didn't get his way on taxpayer-funded abortions.
Okay, if everything I want in the bill, the final bill, I like everything in the bill, except you have public funding for abortion. And we had a chance to run our amendment, and we lost. Okay? I voted my conscience, stayed true to my principles, stayed true to the beliefs of this district. Could I vote for health care? Yes, I still could.
Of course, another problem the pro-lifers have on this front is that they don't trust President Obama to keep his word on this either, given his strong pro-choice record. They point to this clip from Obama speaking to a Planned Parenthood conference back in 2007.
In my mind, reproductive care is essential care. It is basic care. And so it is at the center and at the heart of the plan that I've proposed.
Of course, at the time, President Obama was talking about his ideal plan, not the specific one on the table over this past weekend. In that same speech to Planned Parenthood, the then-Senator Obama said that he also believed that insurers should be forced to cover and pay for abortions as well. But the fight is a long way from over for opponents of the president's health care plan. First of all, of course, the Senate has to approve the changes that the House approved on Sunday night, although the main thrust of the bill will be signed into law by the president on Tuesday. The next line of defense, and perhaps the last, is that Virginia, Idaho, and several other states are planning to go to court and sue the federal government over the individual mandate, the government forcing you to buy health coverage and forcing you to have certain things in your coverage plan, whether you want them or not. They say that's a violation of the Commerce Clause, and that the government cannot force you to buy anything. Texas Congressman Ted Poe is among those trying to stop this part of the bill from being enacted. He says it's unconstitutional, and he's launching an effort to defund any sort of enforcement of the individual mandate portion of the bill. To hear my full conversation with Congressman Poe as to why he thinks it's unconstitutional, as well as his thoughts on the efforts to stop that from being enacted, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. Also, this, of course, will be a huge factor potentially in the 2010 midterm elections coming up later this year. We'll take a look at how it impacts one key House race down in Florida's 22nd congressional district when we'll talk with Republican challenger Alan West, who is challenging Democratic incumbent Ron Klein. But as Democrats try to defend their vote on this over the next several months, they're also doing their best to change the subject and point the finger at unruly conduct by Tea Party protesters and others up on Capitol Hill over the weekend. Reports of racial slurs as well as attacks towards gay Congressman Barney Frank have been dominating the liberal blogosphere as well as liberal media outlets like MSNBC. The number three House Democrat, Jim Clyburn of South Carolina, who claims he was the target of racial epithets over the weekend, says this is all an effort to delegitimize President Obama.
Congressman Nunes, I read, said that this was to be expected when you have a totalitarian government. Now, what is totalitarian about having Barack Obama as president of the United States?
Congressman Jim Clyburn, also at worldnetdaily.com today and dateline.radioamerica.org. My discussion with Oklahoma Senator Jim Inhofe on some other key issues about to hit the desk in front of the lawmakers, including cap and trade, as well as the fate of the Guantanamo detention facility. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.